Welcome to the Get Around and podcast, quite literally just a girl shit talking about AFL footy. I am your host, Alyssa Guidritis, and this is your round three wrap up. Right, we can't do an AFL podcast this week and ignore the absolute shit show that is going on over in the Brisbane Lions Football Club right now. The gist of it seems to be that there are reports of a divide in the team after an off-season Las Vegas trip ended badly. Apparently, messages and photos from that trip were on a WhatsApp group, and they were accidentally uploaded to the cloud by a player and then seen by the partner of that player, who then shared it with the partners of the other players who were also on the trip, and it's resulted in some relationship breakups. Anyone who has anything official to do with the club is denying these rumours and is completely adamant that the off-season Vegas trip has nothing to do with their current 0-3 losses. I'm going to go ahead now and say that I would not be surprised if there had been a blow-up from a Las Vegas trip, but who really cares? I mean, it was off-season. They are probably playing a little off at the moment, but it is only the end of round three. There's, what, another 20 games to go and plenty of time to turn the season around. I am so over seeing articles about it now. Unless you are going to come out with screenshots and factual information, I'm over it. Another big story out of the AFL this week surrounds the league's secret drug testing regimes and the revelations that nearly 100 players are basically given free rein to do whatever they want without fearing any repercussions. So Federal MP Andrew Wilkie presented in Parliament last Tuesday night, stating that he had a signed statement from Zishan Arain, who is a former doctor at the Melbourne Football Club, in which he accuses the AFL of authorising off-the-books illicit drug tests in order to help players avoid detection on match days. He has basically said that a player would confess to taking recreational drugs in the days before an AFL game, taken to have secret tests to ensure their systems were clear. If they weren't clear, they were advised to fake an injury so that they wouldn't be tested and suspended for breaching the World Anti-Doping Agency code. Wilkie has also accused AFL Chairman Richard Goyder and former CEO Gil McLachlan of willful inaction, and that the former chief medical officer of the AFL, Peter Harcourt, facilitated the secret testing. So drug tests that are done on game day are conducted by SIA officers who must follow the World Anti-Doping Code. And then these off-the-record drug tests were being done by another pathology clinic and basically said, yes, you can play this week, or no, you're going to fake an injury and have a week off. One of my favourite quotes from the presentation to Parliament was, the term white line fever has taken on a different and sinister meaning at the AFL. I thought that was actually hilarious. Obviously, the AFL have had to release a statement in light of these accusations, but I don't know if I was really expecting it to take the route that it did go down. They declared that they would not apologise for the testing program and said that it was a commitment to player well-being and welfare. Basically, they're saying that they aren't doing anything wrong because the players are using illegal drugs, but they're not taking to the field. That's kind of what it feels like they're saying. Of course, that is not the end of it. It would never be the end of it. The Herald Sun have come out and revealed that around 100 current players have got a secret immunity from the AFL's three-strike drug policy. Apparently, the clubs are taking action to identify the players using cocaine and then placing them in this rehab medical model where there is no limit on the number of strikes you can get. So the usual and publicised AFL three-strike drug policy says that on the second strike, the player would be named and shamed, be fined $5,000 and then suspended for 4 games. And then a third strike would mean a 12-match seat on the sidelines. Sean Smith, who is the father of Demons player Joel Smith, who is the player charged with using cocaine after a positive match day test and currently under investigation for trafficking to his teammates, also provided a statement to Parliament, In his statement, he maintains that before joining the AFL, his son had not been a cocaine user and attributes his situation to the AFL aiding and abetting illegal drug use. It kind of feels like the AFL is saying, yep, go out and use recreational drugs, let us know about it and we'll make sure you're in the clear. Or we'll create this injury to make sure you don't face any repercussions for your illegal actions. Officials of clubs are basically facilitating and normalising the use of cocaine, which in such a high-level sport is just crazy. All right, some more news now. Geelong great Tom Hawkins has celebrated his 350th game on Monday, which is an incredible feat, now overshadowed. The weather for the game at the MCG was bloody terrible. And the fourth quarter was delayed by half an hour because of how close the Lightning was getting. During this delay, the players were sent back to their change rooms. The AFL is now investigating after footage emerged of Tom Hawkins being handed a phone and looking at the screen. So, for a bit of context, for integrity purposes, players are not allowed to use their own phones during games, and their devices are taken off them before the game and locked up. So for that reason, it is fairly safe to assume that the phone given to Hawkins was not his own. According to Fox Footy, Hawkins was looking at the weather radar on a phone that belonged to a Geelong official who is authorised to have his phone in the rooms during the game. Look, that seems pretty bloody innocent to me. The footage doesn't show anything controversial. It's not his phone. He's simply looking at the weather radar. I think this is a big fuss about nothing. I have an update for you on the Tom Hawkins phone situation. On Tuesday, the AFL have announced that Geelong and Tom Hawkins have both received a warning for the incident. Fair call, whatever. Move on from it. It wasn't his phone, but whatever. It's fine. All right, game by game, let's get into it. Thursday's game was Brisbane versus Collingwood at the Gabba. Collingwood finally got to celebrate their first win of the season against Brisbane with a 20-point win, 92-72 in a repeat of the 2023 Grand Final. While Collingwood has hit one win, three losses, the heavily criticised Lions are now sitting at 0 wins, 3 losses. Jamie Elliott has kicked 4 goals for Collingwood, while Myoshek and Bobby Hill kicked 3 each, and Bro McCreary kicked a further 2. The talk of this week was the very uncharacteristic hit on Lachie Neale from Scott Pendlebury. As I mentioned in my highlight of the week, that Grammys-worthy reaction to the hit from Neale was incredible. While we are talking about Lachie Neale, let's say that he finished the game with 35 touches, while Dane Zorko managed 30 and Hugh McCluggage got to 29. For the Pies, Nick Dacos ended with 30 disposals and 7 score involvements, which is a stark contrast to his performance in last week's game. Moving on to Good Friday, we had 2 games this year, the first being North Melbourne versus Carlton at Marvel Stadium. The Blues took down North Melbourne by 56 points, with Harry Mackay kicking 5 goals and Charlie Curnow kicking a further 4. The end result was 137-81. But even though they did lose, the Kangaroos did put up a good fight. It was a very aggressive fight, but it was a good one. That aggression really showed through when Nick Larkey gave away a 50-metre penalty at the end of the third quarter for slamming Mitch McGovern to the ground. In the second quarter, North Melbourne suffered their second Achilles injury in just 3 weeks, with Callum Coleman-Jones taken off the field in a medical car and given pain relief after what has been suspected to be an Achilles tendon. I'm not sure if it's been... Oh, it has. It has been confirmed. Carlton also lost Caleb Marchbank, who was concussed after a very heavy collision with his teammate Jordan Boyd in the last quarter. But you could really feel the confidence that Carlton was displaying in their game. Their team is now sitting at 0 losses and 3 wins, and I think it's going to be a good year for Carlton. The second Good Friday match was Fremantle versus Adelaide at Optus Stadium. Fremantle have continued the season undefeated, beating Adelaide by 35 points in the final Good Friday match of the year, with a relatively low scoring game of 69-34. At three-quarter time, the two teams were only separated by 10 points, with Dockers sealing the deal in the fourth quarter with four unanswered goals. While the Crows did enforce pressure and intensity throughout the game, they forgot to bring their ability to link their midfield and their forward line and their result in points. The team, who were the highest scoring team for last year, haven't won a game so far this season and were only able to get four goals in this one. It is a stark contrast from last season to this season for the Adelaide Crows. Easter Saturday started off with Essendon versus St Kilda at Marvel Stadium, and Jake Stringer has surely earned himself some more Brownlow points with a very influential game that saw St Kilda go down to Essendon 71-67. We need to acknowledge Essendon defender Nick Martin, who at halftime, he had 27 disposals, and then finished up the game with 44 of them. Fellow defender Sam Durham, he was subbed out during the game and placed in concussion protocols. In the third quarter, he was tackled by Seb Ross and he hit his shoulder and then his head on the turf. He's been pulled off and is now in concussion protocols for at least the next week. Marcus Windhanger from St Kilda has been sanctioned a one-match ban for rough conduct that was graded as medium impact on Sam Durham in the second quarter. Easter Saturday game number two was Port Adelaide versus Melbourne at Adelaide Oval. Melbourne has celebrated Jack Viney's 200th game with a victory over Port Adelaide in what was a continuous power struggle between the two teams. Those numbers just continued to fluctuate throughout the game. There was never a margin over 18 points, and it was just you didn't know who was going to win. You were on the edge of your seat the whole game. As always, the game was heavily influenced by Melbourne's Max Gawn, who had 50 hitouts and 20 disposals, Christian Petrarca with 23 touches, and Clayton Oliver with 25 of them, as well as Alex Neil Bullen, who scored 2 goals and 24 disposals, and Trent Rivers, who ended up with 27 possessions for the game. Over on the Port side, Darcy Byrne-Jones, Willie Rioli, and Jeremy Finlayson scored 2 goals each throughout the game, and Todd Marshall celebrated his 100th game with a goal as well. Trent Rivers was fined $3,750 for a fourth quarter rough conduct on Connor Rosie. Easter Sunday, Western Bulldogs versus West Coast at Marvel Stadium. An already down West Coast has had another defeat piled on by the Western Bulldogs this week. A 76-point loss, which was a contrast to last year's West Coast versus Bulldogs game, where the Bulldogs actually lost to West Coast, which was not on anyone's bingo card at that point. The Dogs sailed through their second win of the season, ending the game 106-30. Look, the Bulldogs had another good week. Adam Treloar, Tom Liberatore, excellent players, and they really showed it this week. Bont didn't have as good of a week as he usually does, but, you know, everyone has their off weeks. Tim Kelly from the Eagles, despite a slip that caused a lost possession while attempting a long-range goal, he did have a really good week as well, as did Jeremy McGovern in defence, who racked up 11 marks, which was the most for the whole game. The media did kind of make it out to be a battle of the first years for this game, Riley Sanders versus Harley Reid, pick number 6 versus pick number 1. If it was actually that kind of competition, the results would have been Sanders with 20 touches, 6 tackles and 7 score involvements, while Reid finished with 12 disposals, 7 of those were contested, and 5 clearances. The only fine for the day went to Jamie Cripps from the Eagles, who got himself a $3,750 fine for striking Cody Waitman in the third quarter. Speaking of Cody Waitman, we have heard this week that he is on a test at the moment. to play next week's Gather Round due to an elbow injury. Easter Sunday's second game was Richmond and the Swans at the MCG. Richmond finally landed their first win for the season and under their new coach. Tim Taranto was very influential on the field with 35 disposals and 8 clearances, while Nick Vlusten dominated in defence with 29 disposals and 15 intercept possessions. Mikelty Lifu was able to score his first 2 goals in the AFL in his second game, which was exciting for him. Liam Baker, Richmond's vice-captain, has been given a 1-match ban for a high hit on the Swans' Lewis Milliken, in which Baker's right arm struck his head, and he did leave the field after the incident and returned a short time later to finish the game. Justin McInerney from the Swans has also been fined $1,875 for tripping Maurice Rioli Jr. Finishing it off with Easter Monday, Hawthorn versus Geelong at the MCG. As I talked about earlier, the 2024 Easter Monday clash between Hawthorn and Geelong was also a big day for Geelong legend Tom Hawkins, who played his 350th game, sealing it with a win of 106 to 70. Hawkins became just the 24th player in the AFL history to reach the huge milestone. Amazing. Congratulations. Hawkins was also able to score 4 majors throughout the game, as did Ollie Henry, who also sealed the game off with the final goal. Just before the start of the fourth quarter, the game was delayed for over half an hour while there was lightning in Yarra Park. Once play resumed, it was only 27 seconds before Hawks recruit Jack Ginnivan took a mark and scored a goal inside 50 to get the crowd up and about. While we are on the topic of Ginny, first thing, the AFL has actually reached out to the Hawks today, so I'm recording this on Tuesday, and conceded that he should have been paid at least a couple of free kicks for high contact during the game. He did not receive any free kicks despite being caught high twice in the first half, once by Zach Guthrie, once by Max Holmes, as well as a couple of incidents after halftime. My second point about Ginny is that he has been on the Tommy Talks podcast opening up about how he knew it was time to leave Collingwood. He did make a couple of comments that, while they were true, it's probably going to rile up Collingwood, and that is going to make this weekend's Gather Round fixture of Collingwood versus the Hawks a very interesting watch, because Collingwood can get quite aggressive and I'm not sure if Ginny can hold his own, but we will see. Talking about next week's fixtures, everyone is headed to South Australia for Gather Round, starting on Thursday with Adelaide versus Melbourne. Friday, we've got Lions versus North Melbourne and Port Adelaide versus Essendon. We've got 3 games on Saturday, West Coast versus Sydney, Freo versus Carlton and the Bulldogs versus Geelong. And 3 again on Sunday, the Suns versus the Giants, Richmond versus St Kilda, finishing off with that highly anticipated Collingwood versus the Hawks game. That is all I've got for you this week. I will be back next Tuesday to report on all things Gather Round. See you then.